on the tongue, the mouth. And it reads as follows: For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Seventh verse, back up one, says that in the ages, and I know we covered this part before, that in the ages or the times to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. That word exceeding is an interesting word, in that we have an understanding that it goes beyond. One Greek definition is to throw beyond the usual mark. That is to surpass. And then there's this other word that's called supereminent. And I just want to plug in what that word supereminent means. It's a chiefly dated term for preeminent. It also means rising above. And as I looked at that, I'm like, praise God. I mean, we are so high, we have no idea how high we are. And when I say that term high, we know how it was in the world when you said somebody's high. You know, they're intoxicated. They're on something. They're influenced by something. But just the position, the stature, the place that God brings us into Christ Jesus, it's far above. By way of remembrance, you know, when you were born, and you all should know your original birth date of when you were born into this world, that was the earthly, the worldly person, only comprised of body and soul, spiritually dead to the things of God. But then when you receive Jesus Christ truly as your Lord and Savior, and you ought to remember that date or the vicinity of it, or something ought to remind you, because that day there was an exchange that took place. You said goodbye to the worldly. You said goodbye to the earthly, and you embrace now the heavenly. You were born from above. Here on earth, you were born of the earth. Therefore, you're of the earth and you're worldly. But being born from above, you are now heavenly. And your position is heavenly. Your view on things is heavenly. Seeing everything from God's perspective, because God is heavenly, if you will. He is not natural. He is not normal, if you will, according to normal patterns of living. God is different. God is holy. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then God began to speak divine order into things. And then God, when he came into that time of creating man, he created man in his image and after his likeness. We had the very breath, the very Zoe of God on the inside of us, as it was in Adam, if you will. But Adam fell and spiritually died, if you will. And so from Adam, there's just that spiritual death that's there. And what dominates or rules is the sinful Adamic nature, that nature that questions God, that nature that challenges God, that nature that rebels against God, that nature that hates God. Paul said it like this: the carnal mind is enmity against God, hostile towards God, an enemy of God. So that's of the earth. Now we're of the heaven. We got born again. Our spirit man came alive and came alive to God. We're now God conscious and not earthly conscious. I mean, we're in this world, but the Bible teaches us we're in it, but we're not of it any longer. We're not a byproduct of the world. We're a byproduct of heaven now. And it's all in this word. Byproduct, spring, offspring, if you will, fruit of heaven, fruit of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have kinship with him. Hallelujah. He's our Father. We're his children. We're his offspring in the earth. We have to constantly remind ourselves of that. Because if we don't, we start doing like we did before we got saved. We start thinking like others think. Others who have no relationship with God have more influence on our lives than God does, or his word does, or his people do. We engulf ourselves with a bunch of worldly people, and if we do not remember who we are, rehearse who we are, walk in who we are in Christ, in the born from above lifestyle of living, we'll become just like what we were delivered from. We'll become just like others. We don't look down on others who have no relationship with God, because Jesus didn't. Again, woman, where are your accusers? They were nowhere around. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Why? Because the Son of Man didn't come into the world to condemn the world. If he did that, everybody would be going to hell. There'd be no way of entering into heaven except through Jesus Christ. So he would have condemned everybody, but he came to condemn no one. But he said that through him, the world may be saved. Hallelujah. And that's our mindset and attitude, or it ought to be, because we're from above now. Hallelujah. As he was, so are we now in the earth. And we see things from his perspective. So it's like everybody has an opportunity to get saved. And that's what we should desire. We don't want to see anybody go to hell. We want to see everybody go to glory. So we see everything from God's perspective, but we have to be very careful, because even in desiring people to want to come in or desiring them to get saved and all, if they don't want to get saved, we just have to let them go the way that they want to go until somebody who can reach them, get their attention and get them to hear the gospel and receive it, till that time takes place. We pray for them, but we cannot allow them to have such influence in our lives that it pulls us out of who we are. We're trying to go up. We're not trying to stay level. We're not trying to live the same old average, everyday, normal life like we did before. We are striving to live heavenly. In our striving, we're not working to get saved. We're working because we are saved. Yeah, we want to live the saved life, so that's the life that we pursue. We never stop pursuing Jesus. We never stop pursuing wisdom. We never stop pursuing knowledge and understanding of God. We never stop pursuing being more like God, because after all, we have the divine nature on the inside of us. We have God's nature. We are his relatives. We are his seed, his offspring. We are his descendants, if you will, like a linear descendant. We are his descendants. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph and all of the other patriarchs. God had Jesus. Jesus had us. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are connected. And because we are Christ, then are we Abraham's seed, so that we can enjoy the covenant promises. Ah, yeah. That God made to his people here on earth. I know that may have seemed like, you know, we're uncouth or something like that, or just kind of like, you know, you're getting beside yourself. But it's like when you think about everything, stretch your mind to try and understand and comprehend the will of God and what he's trying to communicate. Quit trying to just survive and live this fleshly, carnal life till you die. Pursue the things of God. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry gift to pursue God. You're a daughter of God. You're a man of God. You're a child and an offspring of God. Seek him with everything within you. Let your life revolve around him. Yeah. I hope. So, supereminent. Say supereminent. Rising above. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, praise God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Rising above. Okay. So, Where was I before I got? That was the word exceeding, rising above. Riches deal with wealth. Riches deal with abundance. But he uses that word in relationship to grace, because grace is much more than what we could ever fathom, comprehend. It's like the love of God, the widths, the lengths, the depths, the heights. It's just so vast, you can't bottom it out. You'll get lost in it, which is a good thing, but you just can't bottom it out. I know it all. I've discovered it all. I've experienced all the grace that there. No, you have not. You haven't even scratched the surface of God's grace. His grace not only breaks the power of sin, His grace is not only patient with us to help us to grow from within outwardly, if you will, to grow and to mature, but His grace is just sufficient for every given situation. As Paul says, I pleaded with God three times, thrice I pleaded with Him to deliver me from this messenger, deliver me from this buffeting. And each time God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Even in the buffeting that didn't bottom out or stretch grace to its maximum capacity. No, we experience God's grace daily. We experience God's grace when we start operating and flowing in the gifts. We experience God's grace when we lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Or we just step out in faith and pray for somebody that they may be healed. Or we pray for ourselves, nobody around. Bam, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this thing. 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 I speak to this. I speak wherever the pain is, wherever the sickness is, I speak to it. I speak to my eyes. I speak to my ears. I speak to the organ that is hurting. I speak to the kidney. I speak to the lungs. I speak to it. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace gives me the ability to experience all that you have for me, and I still haven't bottomed it out. You still have not been exhausted of your grace. There have been many since we've come on the scene as the Church of the Living God who have lived in the presence and blessing and favor of God, and some have counted themselves, whether they count themselves unworthy or sell themselves short of experience all that God wants them to have, because again, some people just want to live till they die, and it's like, we don't just want to live till we die. We want to glorify God in everything that we do. We want to finish what He has begun in us. We want that to be complete. We want to know the exact reason why we are here on this earth and somebody else is not here in our place. Don't ever think that you don't matter to God. That whole thing about purpose is real. You don't need others' books. Others' books are good. But the greatest book is the book that was written by the Holy Ghost, moving upon men and giving them wisdom and knowledge and revelation and saying, write this down, not only for your time, but for the times to come, that we might know the precious promises that have been given to us. This is what he talks about when he talks about the riches of his grace, that in the age to come, talking about years down the road, way beyond Paul, way beyond Peter, way beyond John, and way beyond Stephen and all of the others that went before us, way beyond them, that in our day and time, we might know still what the riches of his grace are towards us. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not just going to church and paying a religious duty or obligation. It is enjoying the godly life that God intended for us to live even before the foundations of the earth itself. God intended for his people to be on this earth, not to be chased around by the devil, not to be so miserable, angry, bitter, you know, hateful, spiteful, abusive, taking advantage of people, ripping them off. You know, he wanted us to be adventurous in him, explore him. We can't get so caught up into this world that we start chasing after stuff. Jesus said, man, that's what the Gentiles do. I praise God. But God's people, this is what they do. What they do, Jesus, they seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And they know everything else is going to be added unto them. That's what godly people do. What do you do? I'm seeking God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you mean you're seeking God? I'm looking forward to his good and acceptable and perfect will being worked out in my life so that when I stand before him, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. Why? Because he says he's going to say that. So why wouldn't I want him to say that to me? You ought to be saying, me too. Here's a me too moment. Hallelujah. I want him to be saying that to me. Well done, good and faithful. I sought you, Lord. I sought you out to discover what it is that you have in store for me. I seek you out, not just for, you know, day to day. That's good. You know, Lord, food, clothing, you know, that type of natural provision. But, Lord, your will. Lord, your way. Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Guided and led by him. The Bible says that they that are led of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about God the Spirit, third person of the Trinity, not that he's third place. He is very God, just as much as the Father, just as much as Jesus, if you will, the triune Godhead. But they that are led by the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Sons being offspring, male, female. Now, in the realm of the spirit, there's neither male nor female. It's neutral, neuter, if you will. But we are manifest in the body that God saw fit that we come in. No reason to alter it. It was good when God put us in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It ain't about this thing anyways, because this thing is going back to the earth. But I got a new body. Ha! Praise God. Excuse me for getting excited. I have a new body. This is a Me Too moment. I got a new body reserved for me in the heavens. This earthly body was given for me to operate here on the earth with the limitations that it is limited to because of sin. If sin wouldn't have stepped in, I'd probably be able to outswim any dolphin, any whale, any shark, be stronger than any ox. Praise God. But sin limited us. But Christ has come to free us now. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that in the ages to come, he might show openly the exceeding riches of his grace, his favor, his kindness, his blessing, and his kind in his kindness toward us. That word kindness, usefulness. That is moral excellence in character or demeanor. This is what Dad's invested in you, Minister Prasada, Sister Lamara, Brother Ian, Brother Pete, Sister Bernice, Minister Killings, Minister Patton, Brother Kwame, Pastor Lucia, Brother Finn, Sister Lauren, Minister Denise, Sister Laura, Sister Sharon, Sister Diana, Brother Tim, and Brother Eric. And all the children, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Princess Sissy, Brother O2, Brother Andre, Sister Tina, Sister Ava, Brother Bud, and Sister Kamaya, and then Brother Joseph. Yeah. Moral excellence. Usefulness. I don't fit in anywhere. I can't do anything. So Jesus says, come, follow me. Because I'm going to make you useful for my dad's glory. You're here to glorify him in this earth. Hallelujah. There's something that he has deposited within you that must be pulled and brought forth to discover why you were originally brought in. I mean, the first time you got born into this world, but then you got born again, and you didn't shock God with your yes, Lord, and I received Jesus. It's like, no, it's a part of my plan. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I knew you before the foundations of the world. I knew you would come to me, says Jesus. I knew you would receive me. I know others who will reject me, but I knew you would receive me. And so in the ages to come, I'm having stuff written down so that you'll know what rightfully belongs to you. You'll know what I have given to you. You'll know that I've given you more than the world could ever muster up to give to you. Because after all, I created the heavens and the earth. Am I making any sense? Hallelujah. This is not just no feel-good message. This is truth. This is what we build our lives with. This is a character, if you will, the strength, if you will. If you think that you got to be all stressed out, messed up, you know, all wiped out like everybody else does, they're without hope and without God. But you got God on the inside of you, Brother Pete, and everybody else in this tabernacle. You have God with you, God in you, and you got his nature. Hallelujah. Divine nature. Divinity is in you. Before, it was just human. It was just earthly. It was just worldly. And it was tainted and contaminated by sin. Now you've been washed. Now you've been cleansed. Now you've been justified. Now you've been glorified. And here God is saying, I'm giving you moral excellence. I'm giving you an abundance of wealth, good wealth, true riches, not the stuff that decays and fades away or loses its value. What God instills in us, it continues to appreciate in value. We get better with age, or we ought to. Hallelujah. Can't see being so messed up after the younger years of glorifying God, then in the older years, all of a sudden starting to fade and, you know, just barely making it by. If that happens, I'm not saying that the person is out of the will of God, but I just see us going from glory to glory and faith to faith and strength to strength. I just see that even in old age, we still bear fruit. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells me. It tells me that. It's written. Receive it. Forget what your body says to you. Remember, your body is going back to the earth. Let it get in your spirit. Let it, the spirit man, overtake your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Get everything lined up and then make your body do what God says it can do. Hallelujah. Make room for Jesus. Hallelujah. Make room for him. So usefulness, that is moral excellence in character and demeanor. You got that? Okay. Exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith. Praise God. That's how powerful grace is. Grace saves us. Before God was about to flood out the earth, he saw that the heart of man was, you know, as Jeremiah said, deceitfully wicked. But he saw that man only got worse and worse and worse. And the scripture says in Genesis chapter 6, God repented for making man because of the nature, the character, because of the sinfulness, the rebellion, because of the depravity and state of mankind. God says, I repent for making man. He's constantly sinning and becoming increasingly sinful in all of his sin. So God said he's going to flood out the earth. But there was one man that God saw. And it says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God used Noah. Noah could have preserved as many as wanted to be saved. but only eight, including Noah, were saved. They all had an opportunity. The gospel was being preached in that day through the words of Noah. Simply turn from your wicked ways. God's going to rain down judgment. God's going to flood the earth. What do you mean flood? Never been a flood? Why are you building that? Look at how long it's taking. You still working on that? You and your boys, you're just out there working on that thing. It ain't going to rain. It ain't going to flood. And the day when Noah went in and God closed the lid on the ark, God waited until the last godly person died and went on to be with him. When I say godly, outside of Noah and his family, after that last person died, it was in that year that the flood came. You know, you had Enoch, and then you had Methuselah. When, I'm not sure if it was Methuselah, I forget the exact name or which one it was, but you had the godly lineage, and after the last one died in that year, it could have been the very day or the next day, that's when the flood came. But God had found grace in Noah's eyes, and that grace preserved Noah and his family, and that grace is what saves us today. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is your ability to believe. All you have to do is believe, and you tap into the deep riches. You tap into the abundant riches. You tap into the grace of God, and you get to experience everything that Dad has for you by believing. Believing what God has said, that his word is true. You tap into it, and then it begins to transform and to work from the inside out. Changes. You have to change. When I say you have to change, I don't mean it in the sense of like a law or a commandment that's going to push your rebellious button. Although many times that's what it does, because we consider it as a law and we don't consider it as God's grace and his mercy coming towards us. We don't consider what our end will be if we don't receive what God is trying to get into our hands. God is bringing safety, wholeness. God is bringing wealth. He's bringing favor. He's bringing blessing. He's bringing prosperity. He's bringing everything that we need. But if we see it as, I don't want to do that, there's nothing else outside of it that's worth going after. So grace brings us into that place of favor and blessing. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not anything we can whip up or work up ourselves. It is the gift of God, the free gift that came to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Not of works, any works that we can do in order to show ourselves approved, to earn or deserve what God is freely giving to us. That's the awesomeness of it. Can't do anything. There's nothing I can do. As good as I can do something. You know, we're all good at something naturally. We have a natural ability or natural talent that God has given us. We're all good at something, but nothing we can do, as much as we refine and perfect that talent to the best that we can be. We could be the best one on this people planet called Earth, but it would still fall short to get what God is trying to freely give to us. No man can say, you owe me this. You bring your tithes to God. Don't look to God and say, now you owe me. He owes you nothing. Tithes are just a test of your obedience, your ability to believe and trust God. Every time you honor God with your tithe, you pass that test. And the blessing comes. God doesn't want to keep the blessing from us. He wants to get the blessing to us. Yeah. He's trying to teach us how to be a good steward over what he entrusts to us. Yeah. So here we go. We're almost done. Not with the chapter, but we're almost done for tonight. Not a worthless any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. I like this, the definition for workmanship. It's the Greek word poiema, and it means a product. So we are his product. We're a product of the kingdom of God. We're a product of the heavenly. We're a product from above, not when we came through our mother's womb. That person is over. I hope you understand what I mean. No disrespect to family and how you got here into this earth. Thank God for family, parents, and siblings and all of that. But you are now a product from above that's much different from the product of beneath. If any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And this is what he's saying right here. We are his workmanship. We are his product. That is fabric. Now, fabric is an interesting word because when you hear the word fabric, what do you think of? Material. Amen. I do, anyways. And I'm so glad somebody said that. Okay, so here's a definition. Cloth produced by weaving or knitting textile fibers. The walls, the floor, and roof of a building, the body of a car or aircraft, the essential structure of anything, especially a society or culture. And this is where it gets even more better, interesting. To me, anyways. I hope it gets better to you. Because he's saying we are his workmanship, or we are his product, or we are his fabric. And so it's something skillfully produced. You're not an oops in God. You might have been an oops with mom and dad. You may not have been an oops. They may have intended to have you when you came forth, if you will. And you may feel like you are a mistake or something, or they may treat you like you're a mistake or something like that. Others may don't matter what they do. You are, in God's eyesight, someone that has been skillfully produced. Can somebody say something? Skillfully. We all have skills, but skillfully puts more perfection on skill to me. Skillfully, it's like intricately, it's like delicately, it's like perfection in what's going into you. You are something skillfully produced. It comes from Faber, worker in metal or stone. The word, listen to this, originally denoted a building, and we are God's building. So we are his workmanship. We are his building. We're something skillfully produced, if you will. This is coming into Christ. This is not of your earthly natural. This is not of the flesh. This is now born from above. The spirit of God, the Zoe of God, what God is doing inside each and every one of us. Here it goes. Denoted a building. Drop down further. It comes from, where's that word? Oh, there's another word, but I can't find it. It's okay. I won't go further with that. But workmanship, created in Christ. You're not the same. This is why I say you have to change. Not out of commandment in the sense of an order that you're going to rebel against, but it's the creative work of God being done in you. It's the cooperation with Jesus and what he's doing. He can't just be Savior. He has to be Lord also. And so you are being skillfully built up, if you will. You are being skillfully put together. You are being skillfully produced by God Almighty. We're still coming into who we are in the very reason and intent and purpose for which we are here on earth. When our days are done, we might as well go home. Until that time, we might as well keep growing and developing and maturing and coming into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ Jesus. Because we make up his body. Created in Christ Jesus unto, small word, meaning superimposition. In other words, you were placed in and upon in order to work together. So now the new you, created in the image of Christ Jesus now, born from above, if you will, are now coupled with the good works of God, that it's a, not only a perfect fit, but it's joined together, because that's what it is. A new person doing the works of God. Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do, yea, even greater. So because I go to my Father. That won't manifest by living on a, you know, horizontal level, if you will, or just on an earthly plane, never pursuing who we are in Christ Jesus, never trying to find out what is the will of God concerning us. And it's not like we got to keep chasing and chasing and chasing after that and never come into it. We come into it. We grow into it. We develop into it. And it begins to manifest and take over more and more. Remember, nature, germination, expansion, enlargement. Kingdom enlarging on the inside of us. What's happening? God is taking over. People will try and shut you down. They will try and keep you from reaching where God has ordained for you to be. Be like us. Don't come in here with that. Jesus is saying, come to me. All ye who are heavy laden and burdened, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll tell you why you're all, you know, old. You know what I mean? I'll tell you why you're like a, you know, just all over the place, just scatterbrained and, you know, confused and all of that. I'll tell you why. It's because you have my nature on the inside of you, and my nature is not into what you're into. My nature is into me. Come on up here with me. I'll give you perfect peace. I'll let you see things from my perspective, that you may glorify my name here in this earth. I hope that makes sense to you. I enjoy it. Superimposition, all of that from the word unto. Good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop there for tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. If you were blessed or if you just enjoyed it, give God praise. Hallelujah. You're supposed to walk in it. Walk in the good works of God. Walk in what God is germinating, expanding, and enlarging on the inside of you. John said it best when they said, John, the one you told us about, he's over there on the other side of the Jordan, and they're baptizing more than we are baptizing over here now. I was like, I told you, I'm not the one. Then he summarized it, which is something we should live by. He must increase. I must decrease. And we have to personalize that. The life of Christ must increase. Our lives must decrease for the glory of God. Does that mean you won't be working at the place you're working at? It don't mean that. It means you'll start enjoying the place that you work at. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever state you are in, therein be content till God says it's time to move on and move up and move higher into better things, greater things, because he's got something else. Let your life, you know, be ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man, they are ordered of the Lord. So let him order your steps. Praise God. Take you places you never thought you'd ever go to. Hallelujah. Show you his goodness, and I'm telling you, seeing his goodness, and his goodness is real good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for those who are watching live stream, those who are on Facebook. We love you. Father, thank you for tonight. We ask your blessing and favor upon each and every one that is here, and I speak and pronounce it as it is written in thine holy and grafted word, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Stomp your feet. They shall not prevail against you. You should triumph over the gates of hell. because you're the church of the living God. Remember, you're the victorious one, not the devil. You're the victorious one. You're the one that the greater one lives in. Hallelujah. And he's greater than anything in the world. So you be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. We love you dearly. Thank you for coming out tonight. Amen. All right. See you Sunday, if not before.